Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The Athletic.
I'm sorry, you can sit there and look and play with all your silly machines as much as you like.
Is Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say! Brilliant!
He's round the goalkeeper, he's done it! Absolutely incredible!
He launched himself 6 feet into the crowd and kung fu kicked a supporter who was without a shadow of a doubt giving him lip.
Does it tame and tame and tame again?
Crank up the music! Charge your glass! This nation is going to dance all night!
Can the FA Cup have a last 16? What sort of goal qualifies us for an invitation to pick that one out? Has Alan Hutton stumbled across the long-term successor to the corridor of uncertainty? Plus, random players' names in popular song lyrics and a journey into awkward re-recorded goal commentary. Brought to your ears by The Athletic, this is Football Clichés. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 101 of the Football Clichés podcast. I'm Adam Hurry and with me first of all is Charlie Eccleshare. Hello.
Hi Adam, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. It's not an enjoyable moment on this podcast to turn on one of our own in the adjudication panel, but I'm interested to see what you've got to say for yourself about this. In your excellent piece on Wednesday on the rise of Tottenham's Oliver Skip, I was stopped in my tracks by the following words. That summer 2020 move to Norwich came about partly because of an outstanding display Skip put in against Daniel Farke's side the previous March. Spurs ended up losing that FA Cup last 16 tie on penalties, but Skip impressed with his distribution and tenacity. Go on then.
That last 16 has genuinely been added in. I'm opening up my emails because what I do when I file is I keep the copy just in case I need to check anything. I could share screen it, but I'm going to get it up now just to check that I've not gone crazy, because that is not FA Cup tie. FA Cup tie on penalties.
Cup 16er amongst us, but we don't know who it is.
No, yeah, exactly. That's Can you look on the back end and see who's made changes when?
I think that's, I can. We'll haul him onto the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so relieved. I was thinking, what have I done there? I mean, even Daniel Farke's side.
All right.
But I've got Norwich earlier in the sentence. So I think that's acceptable.
Come on, let's spare the blushes of our poor colleague here, whoever this was.
No, that was me, Daniel Farke's side.
Well, yeah, glad to hear that you're not an FA Cup last 16er. I mean, we could go deeper here. How do you feel about sixth round quarterfinal? Because I'm more of a quarterfinal guy.
Yeah,
now.
I'm quarterfinal. I've always found sixth round a bit weird because you never get it in anything else. So I don't really understand it. Yeah, exactly. It requires you have to work out. Like, surely at that point you just want to know you're at the quarterfinal stage.
Yes. Okay. Well, semi apologies to you for even questioning your adherence to the magic of the FA Cup there. That voice you may have briefly heard, of course, was David Walker. How are you doing?
I'm very good.
No judgment here on what I'm about to reveal to you, but it appears that Troy Deeney has used an emoji in his forthcoming autobiography.
Was he on the
Just chucks one in. It's literally there on the page in a book.
Wow. I wonder how that's going to turn out in the audiobook version.
How do you do it? Please don't do what a journalist would do and sort of say, you know, grimace face emoji. Or I don't know. I think there's have to be sort of let it just sort of sit there in the air.
Read the sentence in a certain grimacing way.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not against it, Dave. I'm not against it. Having seen the screenshot of this grimacing emoji just sat in a print book, I have to say I don't not like it.
I'm not sure we can have it, really.
Okay. He's a man of conviction, so if he means it, then that's fine. But I've never seen it before, and I just didn't know what to do, so I thought I'd run it past our resident Watford expert. and see how it pans out. But today, it's all about the adjudication panel. An action-packed, clip-heavy episode for everyone today. It's almost Harry Hill's TV burp territory. Slightly worrying, but it's all good stuff. But I'd like to start, Charlie, with a message from Samuel Simmons. Guidance needed, he asks. What type of goal constitutes the commentary pick that one out? I saw a clip on Twitter where a goal was scored and they said this, but it irked me as it didn't feel right. To me, it should be scored with power outside the box, but I need the panel's wisdom. But what goal does qualify for pick that one out? In fact, before you even say that, what does pick one, that one out one even mean? What
pick that one out. I think that's, isn't that a message to the keeper to say, have a bit of that? Pick that one out of your net. I
really?
Just smashed on past you.
That's my understanding. It's something that somebody says, but they're not really sure. So the it's the goalkeeper's job to get it out of the net. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think initially, I mean, yeah, now it's become, I don't think people are specifically thinking that, but I think that's the initial, in my head anyway, because it's quite confrontational. So it's kind of
like a having a go.
Yeah, so I think it definitely needs to be struck with anger,
right.
Because pick that one out is quite aggressive. Mm. You know, it's basically
have a bit of that. Yeah,
exactly. Okay. So, yeah, goals, I think either they have to be hit really hard. So they're either a long distance smasher or one that's pulled back, could be as close as edge of the area, and I think is like leathered into the top corner.
Yeah, I think it's a force thing. I think it's a strength of the shot. Pick that one out.
So you couldn't say curl a lovely shot into the top corner from 35 yards and have that picked out?
No.
I feel like it's a borderline case.
But the curl element.
I think it's smashed with power, with aggression, from long range or close range.
It's a top corner situation, though, right? Are we all agreed on that?
No, I don't think it has to be. For me, it's purely a power and force thing.
Can't be on the ground, because then it'd be like bend down and pick that one up.
The only way it could be on the ground, I think, is if it's a real kind of daisy cutter that just stays
to
our conversation, to the most recent episode where we talked about left footers and right footers, I definitely think a left footer has an advantage in a pick that one out, because I'm imagining it's pulled back and a left footer arrives and just absolutely leathers it, sort of George Albert's, who I've mentioned before. I think it's Jorg, actually, anyway, isn't
Jorg,
it?
Yes.
Yeah.
But important stuff to open with. I think this is very important, and I think we've got to the bottom of that. Well done, everyone. Charlie, we talk about Richard Keys and Andy Gray a lot on this podcast, not often particularly flatteringly. But here's a little clip from the weekend from Andy Gray, I would say rolling back the years, because by which I mean he's taken a well-established autopilot footballing superlative and got just a little bit too much mileage out of it.
What a goal from Mo Salah. What a goal.
It's up there. Put that one in the top drawer, Richard. Just leave it in that top drawer and see how many others join it during the season.
Yeah.
Charlie, the dedication to the phrase top drawer there is absolutely sensational.
That's a really good imagery. I also like the yeah from whoever it is alongside them. I presume Nigel de Jong, because it's normally him. Yeah. And Mo Salah as well is good. But probably is the correct pronunciation, to be fair to Keezy. But it does sound quite him at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. It's good, Dave, that he went for top drawer and not what some people often slip into, which is top shelf, which means something entirely different.
Very different.
Scruffy goal scored at the back post.
Yeah. No, I like the idea of Mo Salah's goal just sitting there in the top drawer, just on its own at the moment. Yeah.
Waiting for others to join it.
Yeah.
I should say as well, on the weekend, I was off, so I wasn't at the Spurs Villa game, so I had to stream it. And I was delighted to say my stream was from BeIN Sports.
Oh, good.
And so I had kind of bonus Keys and Gray. And what you get as well, where they had all the other goals going in, and you just have Keys and Gray sort of narrating them, which was really, it felt very, very old school. Because they were doing it in a way that you might on a kind of radio program or something. No analysis, just Gray describing the goals as they went in. But it was all very heartening.
There were more legal ways of consuming Spurs versus Aston Villa at the weekend. This is from BBC Radio 5 Live. Alan Hutton was on co-commentary duty. And he appears to have a huge issue, Dave, with the phrase corridor of uncertainty.
Here comes Emerson, and these crosses too far in front of Harry Kane, and it just won't fall into the lap of Harry Kane. All he wants is just a little tap in, get that first Premier League goal of the season, but it won't come for him.
Yeah, it was a great idea there. They worked the ball really well, Tottenham out onto this right-hand side, Emerson Royal. It's actually a really dangerous ball down Quality Street, as us fullbacks, that's what we like to call it, but Harry Kane just can't go on there.
Love it! I really love Quality Street. I'm all for it.
Really good. And it's delivered excellently as well. With no, there was no hesitation there. It, as if he's been saying it all his life and we should all completely, you know, be on board with it straight away. And as such, I think we are.
Yeah, completely. I mean, it's... I mean, it works perfectly as a kind of metaphor, Charlie, but as a delivery from a Scottish co-commentator, Quality Street, really, really good. I really like it.
Yeah, I really like that. I like the idea, as he says, as us fullbacks will say, suggesting that there is a fullbacks union.
There's a real weight to that as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Suggesting that it's quite a long, long arcing road across from, it's across from deep.
Oh, okay.
Quality Street.
Yeah. I mean, it must be the same, roughly the same area as the Corridor of Uncertainty. I mean, as we've established many times, we stole that from cricket. So maybe it's good, Dave, that we have our own one. This could be the football, you know, football's, you know, one of our own. A long-running theme on this podcast, Charlie, is football references in popular culture. I may be stretching popular culture here, but Jordan McCarthy has alerted us to some football-adjacent absurdity from 2001 family comedy, Cats and Dogs.
Mom! What? Dad, check it out! I won free tickets to an exhibition game tonight!
Oh!
What?
That is so great!
Uruguay versus Chad!
I don't remember you entering any contests, though.
Can we go? Please, please, can we go?
Now, Charlie, I can assure you this is not central to the plot of the film. They just needed to be somewhere else, basically, is the point. Why the filmmakers chose Uruguay versus Chad as an exhibition game in the USA. I have absolutely no idea. I mean, there must be some mischief going on here, but I can't work out what it is.
I mean, yeah, that's extraordinary. Chad.
Never even thought of them as a footballing force at all.
Chad, I was once told, I don't know if this is true, is the hottest country average temperature in the world.
I believe it does hold the world record, yeah. 50 odd degrees.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I don't know if that has anything to do with it. That would be questionable. Maybe someone involved in the film was from there or had a link to there, but yeah, not a footballing powerhouse.
Dave, if they are going to insist on having Uruguay versus Chad, where really should it be held? It's Craven Cottage.
Sorry, I was thinking.
It might even be a Loftus Road.
I was going to say Loftus Road is the only other place.
It's a little bit more Loftus Roady
that could possibly rival it.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a huge Chad community in London, of course, Charlie.
In West London,
In West London, yeah. So they'll be turning up in droves. But yeah, absolutely puzzling. If anyone has any idea,
Chad, they're currently 181st in the FIFA ranking.
Who are they sandwiched between, Dave?
They are sandwiched between. Interesting. They're sandwiched between Moldova, 180th, and Macau.
Macau. Yeah. Weird little country, Macau. Would love to do a podcast about that, but probably not for this one. But baffling from start to finish, that one. Doesn't get any less weird from here, Dave, because you're familiar, I assume, with the sensationally obsessive online football fan behaviour that is tracking the flights of incoming new signings, right?
Yeah.
You know, using flight radar, that sort of thing. Everton fans have taken this a whole step further now because, as Daniel Connor has told me, they've moved on from tracking potential transfer targets on flight radar to tracking the sand dredgers on an app called Marine Traffic, who are arriving on Merseyside with sand to fill in the lay the foundations for their new stadium.
Oh,
that is superb.
They're literally on a map tracking the sand dredger as it arrives at Bramley Moor Dock. Is that the weirdest thing you've ever heard? In a nice, quaint way.
Yeah. No, it's so football fan, isn't it? It's brilliant. Where's it come from? Where does the sand come from? Where's this expedition start, I wonder?
Well, the tracking starts somewhere in what I assume is the North Sea. Apologies. Is it the Irish Sea? Who knows? Really sorry. But it just starts in the middle of the sea. So I guess that's where they got the sand from. I can tell you that the sand dredger itself is called Shoalway or Shoalway.
There'll now be a thing, won't there, between rival fans taunting the other about the quality of sand they've used.
Yeah.
And then fans kicking off that we've got sort of second-rate sand, and it's typical of our owners to cut corners in that way.
Absolutely. But honestly, this is an absolute first for me. Never heard anything like it. Absolutely sensational. Well done to all Evertonians involved. Sensational scenes also in my DMs recently. Dave, listener Henry Worth wrote in, said he and a friend have been quietly amassing a collection of songs in which footballers' names suddenly appear out of nowhere. He offered a couple of examples, the best of which was this one. You already know about this, so Charlie, this is a quiz for you. Which former Premier League midfielder's name appears in Stairway to Heaven?
I
Can I hear it again?
Yeah, sure.
How can you not hear that?
It's amazing.
Here we go.
Mirawal, I can't get it.
Is that... this is so
right,
weird.
Come on, it's like a magic eye.
It is like a magic. It's like a. It's
come
like
on, look. I'll try and sing it. Mirawal Fellaini.
Yeah.
The weirdest thing about this is that of all the people I've sent it to, 50% just don't get it. Like they're like, what? Maybe it's that 50%, Dave, that they know the words too well, so that they can't see the wood for the trees. I guess there must be some so psychology weird. Here.
Yeah, I don't know. It jumped out at me as soon as you sent it around the other day.
Did you not see it, Charlie?
No, but there are lots of ones I do. There are various ones.
But now you know. Now you know the name. Let's hear it one more time.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, really ram it home. There walks a lady
we all know. Yeah, can't unhear it now.
Well, if we play it one more time, you have to pay royalties to Led Zeppelin, so definitely can't hear it again. Funnily enough, we have a few more examples of this from our listeners. I've tried to arrange this in ascending order of tenuousness. Guys, let's see what you think. First of all, Dave, this is for you. Tom Roston says, it sounds a lot like Eminem, says the name of a former Tottenham legend in the middle of Lose Yourself. Souls escaping through this hole that is gaping. This world
is mine for the taking. Make me king as we move toward a new world. I think that's slightly more tenuous. But yeah. He's saying Ledley King, right?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I did say it was going to go up in tenuousness, at least. Next up, I've always thought this too, but Rob Stokes has confirmed it. He says, listen to this and tell me the second verse doesn't reference former Oldham striker Frankie Bunn. This is London Grammar's Sights. Wonder where you're. It is Frankie Bunn, isn't it? Whose name I always get mixed up with Frankie Fielding. Used by England under-21s a lot.
Future England goalkeeper Frankie Fielding.
Yeah, yeah. What have you done, Frankie Bunn? What have you done? He's got himself sent off with two bookable offences in the space of 5 minutes. What have you done? The lyrics, I should say, is my only friend, keep on. But it doesn't sound like that. But one of those wonderful moments where someone confirms something that you only thought you thought.
That one is sort of the tempo of it. I can almost hear like that could have been adopted by the Oldham fans on the terrace.
Yes. Yeah, most of these are. Actually, good point there, because a lot of listeners were suggesting songs that could be adapted to include a Premier League footballer's name. Not interested in those. Those are just silly, you know, quasi-football chants. This is not the point of this. Absolutely
Agree.
Not the point.
There was the one I always had, and I was looking at it today, the Republica song, Drop Dead Gorgeous. Is it Drop Dead Gorgeous?
Yeah, that was
is that
like
the name
second
of the song?
Single, wasn't it? Yeah,
yeah, and there's... In a lot of the verses, there's the word given, and I remember thinking it was Shea Given, Drop Dead Gorgeous, and I love the idea.
Good looking guy.
Yeah, exactly. But the Republica was so taken with a young Shea Given.
Mm. I also tried to filter out examples where it was literally the same word as the player's name. That's not the point of this either, so you can't have that. Next up, I'm not familiar with this one. This is the Guillemots and Trains to Brazil, but Richard Winton says the opening words are almost certainly the name of a long-serving German manager. Good. Really good. Some of these are very incidental. I realise that we are close to the bottom of the barrel here, but I don't care because it's thoroughly entertaining. Really like this one, Charlie. The opening line of Circle of Life, says Adrian Green. Well, you can just hear it, can't you?
This is a big one, though.
Well established.
This is probably the most established one of all.
Very
of these.
Well established. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, they say it again just for extra emphasis. But yeah, really good. What I did find through further investigation is that that opening line is in fact the Zulu for "This is a lion," which is a little bit too literal, I think. Yeah, thanks for that. Cam, I had no clip for this, you'll just have to use your imagination. Cam R493 says, I used to think I Predict a Riot was actually angled into Reyes, as in crossing a ball in towards Jose Antonio Reyes.
Absolutely ludicrous. why would
he's
he
He's lying,
that?
Isn't he? He didn't think that. People who say they thought things but didn't really.
I mean, you know, right era, I suppose, but still.
Angled into Reyes. It does work! wouldn't use the word, but still, fine. I like it. Back into clip territory now. Nick Elliott, Charlie, says, in the Blink-182 song Stockholm Syndrome, there's a lyric along the lines of Victim of This that catches the ear of any self-respecting football fan as a, well, I suppose we could call him a journeyman wingback now. Contagious Victor Moses.
That's
yes.
brilliant.
Absolutely. Europa League legend, of course.
Yeah, good. Thumbs up for everyone there. Yes, very much a member of our Europa League 11. Controversial member, it should be added. Next up, Dave. In Himes the Wire, says Jack Lewis, it appears that they suggest a disliking for a Barcelona goalkeeper. And try to change my mind, and not intentionally. I know it's hard to hear me say it,
but I can't bear to stay. And I just know and know and know that you're gonna be okay.
Just don't like him playing out from the back.
Always a Sillison,
he's just dodgy,
man.
For me. Under a high ball, getting into him because he don't like it. He don't like it. So,
can't bear to stay.
Can't bear to stay.
Heim just want you to pepper him with shots. But yeah, fantastic stuff. Two more for you, I promise. This one came from Simon 1927, Ian Woodcock and Dion Byrne, Dave. Drake's Find Your Love, it appears, is actually a song about when you really need special dispensation to sign an emergency goalkeeper. I better find your loving, I better find your heart. I better find your loving, I better find your heart. Bit of a tapping, perhaps.
It is. That does break your rule, but it works so well that it really does just sound like he's saying it.
Yeah, I just wanted to say special dispensation, to be honest.
Yeah.
Finally, Tony Tett says, at 1 minute 38 of Hallucinate by Dua Lipa, I'm pretty sure she says the name of a former Tottenham and Arsenal striker. Yeah, you're my one, my favourite, my right. Yeah, no complaints there. I think we can all agree that that fits
That's
perfectly.
That's very good.
No, Dave
hasn't got it.
Former Arsenal and Tottenham striker.
Okay, one more go.
Listen again. Yeah, you're my one, my favourite,
my right of bio. No, I haven't got it.
Also Man City.
You're my Adebayor. One, my favourite, my Adebayor.
Oh, let me just... Yeah, you're my one, my favourite, my right of bio. It's not working for me. But
interesting.
Again, you know, we all have our kryptonite, ones we just can't get our heads around.
yeah, this is like your Marrow and Fellaini, isn't it? Oddly enough, I can see them all. Maybe I'm Neo from The Matrix, I don't know. But yeah, fantastic segment. Really glad we did that. Thanks for everyone who contributed.
I think we should probably pay some royalties to Peter Kay as well as Led Zeppelin, I think, as well.
Okay, why?
Basically word for word rip-off of one of his most famous sketches.
Oh, not again! People have accused us of this in the past and it was bad enough. Oh, this is terrible. Oh, God. Tell me about it afterwards because this sounds horrendous. Sorry to me and sorry to everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Charlie, on Wednesday, it was the 20th anniversary of David Beckham's free kick against Greece. One of perfect examples of a goal that you always see on Twitter but never has the commentary you expect or want. This is from Gary Bloom, whose commentary, as much as I admire generally, should not be the main commentary for this goal.
Beckham could raise the roof here with a goal. I don't believe it. David Beckham scores the goal to take England all the way to the World Cup finals.
Gary Bloom, as many listeners will know, he should only really be commentating on Harchester United. That was he was the Dream Team commentator. That was his gig. There are a few telltale signs with this. Him saying this could raise the roof if it goes in. Sure enough, it does then raise the roof. I mean, do these issues happen because they'll be tweeted out? This will be like the official FA commentary of it or something. Yeah. Can I just say with this as well, I can't remember who tweeted, so I won't name shame them, but they tweeted this with, it's 20th of the day since that in italics, iconic goal. So you had the double whammy. And an iconic, which is saying something.
Yeah, I think iconic overrides the italicized that, doesn't it? What? You certainly don't need both. On the theme of re-recording commentary, Charlie, after the event, it must be a very hard thing to do. To kind of get yourself into the moment when you're not really there. But what I would say about this Gary Bloom one, where he says, "I don't believe it." I feel like you should never venture into disbelief, because that must be the hardest thing to manufacture when you're re-recording some commentary.
Yeah, that and it sounds that way, doesn't it? Because it very much does sound like he can.
Yes.
Believe it.
On this note, this is a very notable example, simply because the re-record was pretty much exactly the same as the original. We may have played this before on this podcast, but this is Tony Adams' iconic that goal against Everton, when Arsenal won the title in 1997-98, which Martin Tyler re-recorded for Arsenal's end-of-season DVD, but just basically used the exact same words.
How bold. And it's Tony Adams put through by Steve Ball. Would you believe it? That sums it
up. That's the original. Very good.
And here's Steve Bold. And it's Adams put through by Bold. Would you believe it? That sums it all up.
Would you believe it? That's actually the worst second time round, isn't it? It just doesn't have that the crackle of the voice nearly breaking.
This reminds me of when you copy someone's homework and you have to make it ever so slightly different to avoid plagiarism and detection. So it sounds as though Tyler's like, I can't.
But in this case,
exactly the same words.
In this case, yeah, he's copying his own homework, which feel like must be massively unfulfilling.
He is, but was there some agreement that you couldn't have it completely verbatim, the same as existing commentary?
I don't
think so. It sounds like he's aware he has to make it ever so slightly different.
I just think he really liked the line and wanted to use it again.
As he should.
And tried to do it from memory. That's what I'm going with. And kind of just didn't get it right. But no clip for this one, but I like the story nonetheless. Adam Widgington writes in and says, "Once got a free DVD in a paper years ago, maybe around 2005, with a couple of goals on it. One included the famous Rooney announcing himself versus Arsenal goal. Obviously, the cheaply produced DVD didn't have the original Remember the Name Wayne Rooney commentary on that we all know. Instead, it was re-recorded with, 'You won't forget this boy's name in a hurry. It's Wayne Rooney.'"
That is, not good.
He hasn't specified whether it was actually Tilsley who said the re-record, but I'm assuming not. In which case, that is scandalous, isn't it? That is plagiarism. More on re-recorded commentary scandals. Patch JS, we're familiar with this one, of course, Charlie. This is Robert Pires against Villa in 2002. The re-recorded Tyler commentary does not include the "sorry, I'm applauding" from Andy Gray, which is cultural vandalism, he says.
Ljungberg. Martin trying to get back against Pires, who's left him and left Schmeichel. That is an outstanding goal from a magnificent
You can't
player.
Buy that.
They're not coming back. It's...
Yeah. You need that. But what's so weird about this is you talk to any commentator and they'll say, never rehearse your lines. You know, that doesn't work. It has to be spontaneous, sort of this. So it must be quite odd and counterintuitive for them to completely go against that with this sort of thing.
What I would say about this one, Dave, is that in the realm of commentary re-records, this sounds quite natural, sounds quite live. It sounds quite good, this one.
Yeah.
I would never have known if I didn't know the original.
It does sound good. I think Tyler's probably one of the better ones at doing re-records. Yeah.
Okay, this is perhaps the lesser-known zenith of this subgenre. Dennis Bergkamp versus Argentina in 1998. We all know the Barry Davis iconic commentary. I'm not even going to bother playing it to you. I'm going to start with Peter Drury's attempt. I've never heard this before.
Long ball played towards Bergkamp. Bergkamp's come inside, and Bergkamp has scored a sublime goal, a sort of goal that only he can score.
Yeah, little bit too knowing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But also, I think the way it kind of tails off at the end just doesn't give it the kind of significance that it needed. It just sounded like sort of the third goal in a midweek 3-0 Premier League win.
Yeah. And there's just, I think this is true of all of these examples, but it's like if Tyler re-recorded the Aguero goal, like the power of some of these goals is you can hear them thinking, what am I going to say next? They're taking in the moment as well as you are. Whereas when it's just done again, they know what's coming.
Very, very, very good point. Because, of course, there is an alternative Barry Davis commentary for the Dennis Bergkamp goal against Argentina in 1998. This is, of course, from the classic YouTube video, All the Goals for France 98, which is, I think, the absolute textbook for re-recorded commentary. Let's hear Barry Davis version 2.
I owned this video.
Good.
Long ball from Frank de Boer, seeking out Dennis Bergkamp. Oh, that's brilliant! Oh, that's wonderful! That is a magnificent goal! And it's taken Holland into the next round for sure. Brilliant play by Dennis Bergkamp.
Actually, do you know what? The more that goes on, Dave, the more I actually like it and think that it would have worked live.
It is good. I mean, yeah, it's a really good re-record. It's a valiant effort. But again, it's just... And it's because we know it as well, because we know what the best version sounds like. But there's just that missing extra little bit of intangible gold.
Mm.
On this particular video, your final example of re-recorded commentary, it appears to me that Barry Davis was a lot more up for the Bergkamp one than he was for Spain versus Bulgaria earlier in the tournament.
Two Spanish players in attacking positions. Kiko! Oh, how many deflections there! Off the crossbar, off the goalkeeper, off the defender. That belonged in an amusement arcade. Pinball stuff.
Genuinely could be from a computer game.
Yeah, I was going to say exactly the same thing. It sounds very FIFA or Pro.
Could have been from an amusement arcade. He definitely wouldn't have said that mid-game. He definitely would not have done.
No.
Agreed. Well, that brings us to the end of our audio-heavy episode of Football Clichés. Hope you all enjoyed. Thanks to you, Dave, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks to you, Charlie, for joining us too.
Thank you, Adam.
Have a great weekend, everyone. See you next time. I better find your heart.
The Athletic.